Well, let's take our Bibles now, Matthew chapter 5 tonight, in one verse, verse 4, and we're doing a series on basically the Beatitudes. That comes from a Latin word that means blessed. It was used in the Latin Vulgate, not used in the King James Version, the English Version, but the Beatitudes, the blessings, and we're talking about the Christian Salt and Light Company. He tells us in this chapter we're to be salt and light. And one of the ways we can do that is practice the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are still right now for us to practice in this day and time. We went over all of the different theories about the Beatitudes, but some say, well, that's just a millennial thing and nobody can live up to that standard unless they're living in the millennium. Others said that it was not for us today, that it was for the Jews, and they rejected Christ, and they rejected the kingdom. But I believe there's evidence, strong evidence, that they are for us today, and God expects us to live by the Beatitudes. And we should do that. And when we are, when we understand that, then we are blessed by God. When we think of it as being a salt and light company, tonight we want to talk about a bad debt and see that as an analogy to it. But in Matthew 5:4, he says, "Blessed or happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now we just want to look at that one verse tonight, this one beatitude. The word blessed, as you recall, that comes from a Greek word, Makarios, and it means supremely blessed. It means happy or fortunate or well off. And it's a good word. We would say happy. Happy or well off or blessed are those who practice the Beatitudes and have the attitude of these things that are mentioned in the Bible. We have another word that is rendered blessed, and it is the word eulogio, and we use that for a eulogy. And it's when you say kind things about somebody like you would at a funeral. And so this word, blessed, here is the latter one. It means fortunate, happy, supremely blessed. And so if you want to be supremely blessed and happy, then you're to practice, and I'm to practice, the Beatitudes. And as I said, they are for right now. Then he says, blessed are they that mourn. And let's think just a moment about that reality. Blessed are they that mourn. The word mourn comes from the Greek word pantheo. It comes from the root word pathos. And it has to do with our emotion. Blessed or happy are they that have painful feelings, is what he's saying. Now, that doesn't seem to make sense to us. That seems like a paradox. A paradox is something that seems to be contradictory from common sense. And so what it seems like Jesus is saying here, look at it, it seems like Jesus is saying happy are those that are sad. And we say that doesn't make any sense. Happy are those that are sad, those that have emotions that are a little bit draining on our minds, and those that have painful feelings. Happy are those that are sad. It doesn't make any sense, and yet that is God's standard, and that's the way it can be. Happy are those that are actually brokenhearted and that are sad. Now, we want to rewrite it and say, happy are those that have no tears. But that's not what God says. Happy are those that mourn. Happy are those that weep. Happy are those that are sad. Just like he said in verse 3, happy or blessed are the poor in spirit. We don't quite understand that, and yet we know that's the starting place. The starting place is that we are poor in spirit, that we are bankrupt, that we realize we're sinful, and then we move to this next level, which is the level of emotion that comes from the fact that we know we're sinners. And then, because of that, we begin to weep. We begin to feel sad. We recognize that we are sinners. And so that has to do with the passion of our heart. This is the emotional expression of the first beatitude, and it has ascending points as we look at all the different beatitudes as they go upward and forward and draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we grieve over in life? Happy or blessed are those that mourn. Happy or blessed are those that grieve. What do we grieve over in life? Well, a lot of different things. Some of them are scriptural, some of them are not. We grieve over some things we shouldn't have to grieve over, and that's when we're disobeying the Lord. But then we grieve over things like not enough money. Anybody feel that way lately? There's not enough money to go around. I have talked to someone recently, and they were talking about their bills and their financial trials and the fact that they just didn't have enough money and things were real tight and things were difficult for them. Well, that's a type of a burden, and that's a type of a thing that can drag you down emotionally whenever you don't have the money to pay your bills. So a lot of times we grieve over that. Some people grieve over the fact that they don't think they have the right job. Some people grieve over the fact that they have health problems and that they sometimes have very serious health problems. We read some names off of the prayer list tonight, and some of the folks that have those problems are grieving over it. And some that are their loved ones, they're grieving over the fact that they have cancer or they have a brain tumor or they have some difficulty physically, and so they are grieving over that. We grieve over these different things, and we say, happy are those that grieve over those things. You may have a loved one that has a stroke. I heard about a missionary today. They're trying to get a van for him, and so they'll have a lift on the van. Brother Ted Johnson, he's still paralyzed on one side from his stroke, relatively young man, missionary, but they're trying to get that so that he can travel and be able to get in and out of the van, and they'll be able to transport him around. Well, I'm sure his wife is grieving, and those who know him, we grieve for him because of his illness, because of the stroke that he had. But the Bible says, happy are those that cry. Happy are those that mourn. And especially, I think, we often grieve over the loss of a loved one. When we lose a dear loved one, that's hard and that's difficult. One of the things that we do as pastors is somebody gives us a phone call, we go to their house. Brother Gaiman, Brother Paul Gaiman had a neighbor that he'd been witnessing to, and he got saved, and the man died recently. He hadn't been saved very long. Brother Paul had his funeral today. By the way, 10 people accepted Christ in that funeral. That's a great report. But he and I were talking, and he was saying, this is his first funeral. How do you approach him? What do you tell him? We were discussing some of that. And one thing I said, when you go to the funeral home for the viewing, just be there and let them know you're there. Let them know you care. They're grieving. They're hurting. Can you imagine the parents of the 33 that were killed at Virginia Tech? My daughter, of course, lives. She and her family live about 20 miles from there. Young ladies from their church was going to class that morning and happened to turn the radio on and heard what was happening and turned around and went back home. Thank God she did, and God protected her. But can you imagine, by the way, even the guy who shot them has a mother and daddy. Can you imagine the grief of their heart? And then the grief of the other 32 mothers and daddies and those that cared for those children all of those years. And we had great hopes for them in the going to college and to get their degree. And they had invested their lives in them. And certainly we ought to pray for them and keep them in our prayers. Though we may not know them, we need to pray for them. And their hearts are grieved. How in the world can you be happy during a time like that? God says we can. And I'll touch on that in just a moment. But the context of the message primarily has to do with sin. That's what he's talking about more than anything else here, more than all those other things I've mentioned. He's talking about sin. Happy are those who grieve over sin. Because first of all, we become bankrupt and we realize how lost we are. We realize we're on our way to hell, that we have nothing to offer God, and we're grieved emotionally because of our sin. sin ought to grieve our heart. And sin does grieve the heart. G. Campbell Morgan said that the evangelistic value is at once manifest in that verse. What did he mean? He means that as people realize they're sinful, then their hearts are broken and they want to do something about it. It has an evangelistic thrust about it. Every one of us in this building tonight, probably everybody here is saved, and it all started with the fact that we felt bankrupt, and all of a sudden we felt guilty and grieved, and we turned our sin over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we got saved. Thank God for that. You know, there's no sorrow like the sorrow caused by sin and the results. Someone was telling me, one of our ladies tonight who teaches in a Christian school setting, and they were talking about sin today, and one of the students, and this is a Christian school, said, "Oh, it's all right to go ahead and sin. You've already been forgiven for it anyway, so just go ahead and sin." And they got into quite a discussion about why that was theologically erroneous and wrong. And it is, because there's no sorrow like the sorrow caused by sin and the results of sin. We never get away with sin. There's always grieving because of sin. Always from the very first sin, there's been grieving. Adam and Eve, and then Cain and Abel, and the murder, and all of the different things that happened, all goes back to sin. And then there's contrition because of it. David sinned with Bathsheba. Other sins that were in his life that led up to that, and other sins that came because of that. And finally, though, David, when he recognized that and realized how sinful he was, he went to God in prayer, confessed his sin, had contrition in his heart, and God forgave him. And David was able to go on and serve the Lord. Now, he had some problems and some scars, but still, that's what happens in sin. Blessed. Happy are those that mourn. Even when we sin, when our hearts are broken because of sin, there can still be some happiness in it because we can go to God. Now, how are we comforted during those times? Well, the word comfort comes from parakleo, which is a Greek word that means somebody that comes up by your side. It is the word that is used, paraclete, for the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "When I go away, the Comforter will come and He'll abide with you." He was talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit of God comes in and comforts us. Now, when somebody dies, when there are people like those who died at Virginia Tech, when we lose a loved one, how in the world can we be happy during that time? One way, I have seen great and victorious spirits during a time of a loss of a loved one because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank God He is the blessed Comforter. And we can still be happy. Now, non-Christians can't be. But we are saved and we can be happy even though it sounds like a paradox. We can still be happy even though there is death. Because of the Holy Spirit and because we have the Word of God. We read things in the Bible like 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where the Bible is talking about the fact that Christ is going to come again and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain and alive shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with the Lord forever and ever. Isn't that great? So when we see our loved ones and we have to give them up, I'm thinking right now of a dear lady. I remember when her husband died suddenly, unexpectedly, got in his pickup, started to work, got a little ill, turned around, came back, laid down on the bed, and passed away. Just not that old. And some of you in this building have gone through something like that, I know. I never will forget watching her at the funeral home, and scores of people came by. And I'll never forget the peace. I could not believe the peace she had and how she used that occasion to witness to people. And she wasn't, by nature, she was more of a quiet, bashful person. But that night she talked to him. She said, "Well, my husband was ready to go. Are you ready to go?" He wasn't planning to go, but he was ready because he'd gotten saved. Are you saved? And I watched her with a peace of God in her heart, one after another coming by, and until she was just drained physically and had to sit in a chair. But she kept telling people who came by about Jesus and about the peace he was giving her and how she wanted them to be saved if she wasn't sure they were saved. You see, she had a peace in her heart that the Word of God gave her. And so we can do that, and then we know that we go through those things and we can comfort other people, and God gives us a peace about using that as a ministry. But what about sin? I said in the context, the main thing he's talking about is sin. As you follow it through, that's what he's talking about. So the main thing is sin. How can there ever be any comfort when we think about sin? You know, sometimes we come to a sense of ignorance, don't we, about certain things. We come to a place and we say, well, I just don't know anything about that. I'm going to have somebody else come in and do that. I have to do that at my house. I've tried to do a little plumbing and my wife has asked me to quit. But we come to the place where we just have to admit we're ignorant about certain things. And we come to the place when there's guilt and sin in our life and we have to realize and recognize that we can't do anything about it, but we have to turn to God, and we have a sense of realizing how much every day we need the Lord in our lives. My soul, we need to depend on Him every day. And thank God we have Him there to depend on. I fail God, and I know that you do too. But we need to sense our need for God and stay close to Him. Sometimes I get upset because of my sin. We read the Beatitudes, and I look at those things, and I say, my soul, I've got a lot of improvement to do. I've got a lot of things in my own life from time to time that the Spirit of God speaks to my heart about that I need to improve, some things that sometimes we slip away from. But sometimes we have to realize how far we have gone from the Lord in order to realize how much we need the Lord, and to recognize what we really ought to be and what we really are not yet. There's always room for improvement, and I need to grow more in the Lord. I'm the pastor of a Bible-believing, independent, soul-winning, missionary-minded church, but I need spiritual growth. There's so much more that I need to improve on in my life, and all of us could say that's the way it is. Whenever I get in the light of His presence, the light of the Word of God, the gravy shows up on my spiritual tie. Amen? I hate to have to send the tie to the cleaners. And a lot of times now, I just tuck my tie in my shirt while I'm eating. I tell my wife sometimes I'm practicing for the nursing home, but sometimes it shows up on the tie. Let me tell you, you get in the light sometimes, you see things you didn't think were there. But when we get in the light of the Word of God and we get real close to the Lord, and we get in the Scriptures and we get in our prayer time, we begin to recognize, oh me, we're like Isaiah, Lord, I'm undone. I'm unclean. You're holy. And I need to change some things. I need to grow. I need to be more like the Master. I need to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though there's sin, we have the comfort of knowing we can come to Him. How am I comforted? Well, I know this. I know that God will forgive me. When I get on my knees and say, Lord, I've gotten cold and indifferent about some things, lay out a sin in some area of my life, and God forgive me. It's been too long since I led somebody to Jesus Christ. And I go to Him and ask Him to forgive me. You know what? I'm glad I can be comforted because He will. Even in the matter of sin, I know I have a Savior who loves me, and if I'll go to Him, He will forgive me of my sin. As I weep in His presence and cry and say, oh God, I have failed You, God will say, my son, I forgive you based on the blood of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God forgives my sin. H.G. Spafford, one of the verses of a song, usually the third verse of songs we don't sing. A lot of times they're the best verses, but we don't sing them. But it is well with my soul. H.G. Spafford said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Aren't you glad that even though we're sinners and even though we sin, we have a comforter, we have God who is willing to forgive us because of what His Son did for us. Praise the Lord for that. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I'm glad God comforts me with the realization of that. Paderewski was a great Polish composer. One time he had one of his students, a young lady who was in concert, and as she was playing, all of a sudden, the horror of horrors, she forgot her music. And she began to play, and she was hitting bad notes, and it sounded like somebody playing bed springs instead of playing what she was supposed to be playing. She went all the way through playing what she was supposed to be playing, the best she could. When she finished, she sat there and wept and cried. Paderewski went up to her and put his arms around her and hugged her and kissed her on the cheek and let her know that he was comforting her. And she, of course, learned a lesson that she needed to study a little bit harder, practice a little bit harder. But he also was doing that for a reason, because he knew that as she loved him and realized how much comfort he had given her during that time, that one of the goals she would have was to do better for him and to really master being a concert pianist. And isn't that the way Jesus does to us? How many times has Jesus walked up to you after you failed, kissed you on the cheek, put his arms around you, and said, "I forgive you. Just do better next time." Doesn't that make you want to serve Him more? Doesn't that make you want to love Him more? Doesn't that make you recognize that you can be happy even though you have failed Him? It's not an encouragement to fail. But and if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone that is there. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God He's willing to do that. And in her frustration, she realized that because He loved her and cared, she wanted to be a better pianist to please Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, He said. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. By the way, only the poor in spirit get in the kingdom of heaven. That's the starting place. You can't get saved until you have the image of being poor in spirit, knowing you're a sinner, and then you go from there and you pour your heart out to God, and God saves your soul. Say, blessed are they that mourn about sin, the failure, the lack of faith. I blew it, God. We can still have joy because we come to Him and we'll be comforted. And the comfort is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He never rejects us. There was a couple that had a young lady that had really messed up her life, and her parents didn't care for her, and she was in a mess. And she came and lived with this couple for 1 year. During that period of time, she had a lot of problems, emotionally and other problems, because of her parents, because of her past. And yet, they worked with her because they loved her. And God laid it on their heart that every evening at supper time, they would try to do something that they trusted God would make a difference in her life. And they had her repeat at supper time, because of her bad self-image and all of those other things, they had her repeat this. And these are the words: God does not love me because I'm good. He loves me because I am precious. And I am precious because Christ died for me. Let me quote that again. God does not love me because I'm good. We could say because I'm perfect. He loves me because I'm precious. And I'm precious because Christ died for me. Praise the Lord for that. And that's a good thing for us to know tonight. When we realize that we're precious to God because Christ died for us, then, though we're bankrupt, and then though we cry over our sin, we can still be happy in the Lord. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why? Because Jesus died for us and we're precious to Him, and His grace will meet all of our need. Step one is what? Humility. Always, that's the place. And that's our conscious need. And step two is penitence. That is recognizing we're sinners and having a broken heart over that, mourning for our sin. Let me ask you something tonight. What are you mourning over? What are you upset about? What are you disturbed about? What is breaking your heart? What is stirring your soul? Whatever it is, I don't know what it might be in your life. A child that's broken your heart? Something else that has just crushed your life? My dear friend, let me tell you, turn it over to Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit comfort you. Let the Word of God comfort you. Mourn if you must. Cry if you must. But remember, you have the Lord there, and He's there for you to go to. From grief comes growth, always. If we have grief, we can have growth. That's why God allows the trials in our life. And a blessing if we know the God of all comfort, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, He is the God of all comfort. And so, blessed are they that mourn. It's still true. Doesn't make sense. Jesus said, happy are those that cry. Blessed are those that mourn. Why? Because we have Jesus. We have the Comforter. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, as we come to You in prayer, we thank You that we have a blessed Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We have You. We have forgiveness. And You're the God of all comfort. And even though we have trials tonight, even though we have disappointments, even though we fail You sometimes, God, we know we can come to You and there's still happiness as we call on You and ask for forgiveness. You're there and You'll forgive us. We know, God, that sometimes we weep and our hearts are broken. But in the midst of all of the trials and difficulties, praise Your name, You're there. You're there. And Lord, if we have nothing else to praise You about tonight, nothing else to be comforted about, we're comforted knowing that our sins are under the blood and that heaven is going to be our home someday. So no matter what we as Christians face, we praise Your name that we can be comforted. Let us bring our burdens to You. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.